Welcome to the Performance Health Podcast. My name is Tim Caron. Today we've got Coach John Heck on the call. John is an amazing resource with a ton of experience. John's really got an interesting niche, and especially if you're a strength conditioning coach in the team sector. Listen, John was able to build a brand that was able to transcend the four walls of a team that he's working with, and he's got an incredible pedigree, enough so where he could actually leave and start his own business, which is an amazing thing to work through. And I'm sure a lot of us are always wondering about what is that critical juncture where we can actually leave the team sector and start our own thing. John had some incredible insights. What was the trigger? What was the foundation? At what point do you have to effectively decide betting on yourself and go for it? If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe and share. It makes a huge difference, as well as leave a review if you got some time. Also, head over to strengthtc.com. We got all of our books, How to Become a Strength Coach, Strength Deficit, which are amazing resources for you. We have two courses. We have the Foundations course, which you'll see here a little bit of ad right after this, which if you're not familiar with it, it is your foundation to strength conditioning, as well as it's a amazing curriculum you should be doing with all staff. Really get to the root of what we want, why we want that, and how we're going to get to it. The other course is Strength Deficit, which if you've read the book, you're definitely going to need some practical tips on how to apply that. This is your tool. It's what we call the companion guide to the actual book. And got some amazing feedback on that as well. It's an amazing resource. Hope you guys are enjoying this. Lastly, we have a collective group, which the way I want to articulate that to you guys is essentially it is your staff meeting on steroids. It is the most informative, educational, as well as enriching experience you can find in any continuing education. Every week we set up a call. You get a book every single month. That's the anchor of the group. We talk a lot about different concepts around that book, but we also branch out. We have a private chat where we have an ongoing discussion on training, nutrition, coaching, professional development, all sorts of great stuff. The collective membership is the premium membership in strength conditioning. Again, also at strengthtc.com. All right, got a little ad for you, and then we're going to get into this interview with Coach John Heck. Unlock your potential as a strength coach with the Foundations course. Are you ready to take your coaching to the next level? The Foundations course isn't just another checklist or to-do list. It's a transformative journey that focuses on key models and skills that make great strength coaches. It will help you develop into the best version of yourself. In this course, you'll dive deep into essential concepts such as what do you want? Why do you want that? How are you going to get that? We're going to develop the motivation to develop the skills that are prerequisite to getting what you want. We're going to maintain motivation through practice. We're going to master communication. We're going to work on application through developing a coaching business and a 1 to 5 and a 10-year plan. This course is designed to be specific to your needs. You'll learn at your own pace, diving into what matters to you. Each lesson is paired with an interactive workbook and a corresponding module. You'll get a copy of the Foundations workbook and a copy of How to Become a Strength Coach to make a deeper understanding of the lessons we're going through. Why choose the Foundations course? Develop a personalized coaching strategy that's tailored to you, your wants, and your needs. Build the skills and knowledge needed to become the strength coach you know you can be. Map out a clear 1, 5, and 10-year plan to stay on track for long-term success. Receive hands-on resources to help integrate learning into your coaching practice. The best coaches are informed. They're made through consistent learning and development. This is your opportunity to become the coach you know you always could be. Start your journey today by purchasing the Foundations course.
Hey, everybody, we got Coach John Heck online right now. I'm excited to talk about his business, where he started from, where he's growing from. Take a second to introduce yourself, go over where you've been, what you're doing, and what you got planned for the future.
Yes, sir. So my name is John Heck. I've spent the last 9 years working in football strength and conditioning. My journey started with the Carolina Panthers as the seasonal intern for Joe Ken, who I consider my biggest mentor in strength and conditioning. Spent a year there. Got hired back at my alma mater at University of North Carolina, where I played football as well. Got my degree there and then spent 5 years working for that strength and conditioning staff. 4 of which were spent working under one of your old coaches, Brian Hess. From there, I went on to the Houston Texans, worked on their strength and conditioning staff. Most recently was the assistant director of strength and performance at Troy. And I have since stepped away full-time into the private sector. So that's the new journey.
When you left Troy for the first time, not to get too personal, did you have that thinking suspicion of, or did you lose any sleep that night? And then when you woke up the next day, what was your initial reaction to the, I'm no longer a team sector strength coach?
It had been in the works for a while. It wasn't this abrupt change for me because I've had the business that I'm now running full time. I've had it operating in the background for the last 5 years. It's something that a few years ago, before I went to the Texans, I was already considering making the move into it full time. If this was something that I was starting from scratch, I still wouldn't be sleeping. But the fact that it was something that I'd been working at, I'd already grown, it was already profitable, I already had a passion for it, it made the transition easier. And my wife and I had been, when we got pregnant, we just had a newborn. Kind of ever since that moment we found out we were going to have a baby, our talks increasingly started centering around playing with the idea of stepping away from football. And as we got closer and closer to the baby being born, those talks became more and more realistic, and that timeline got shorter and shorter. So by the time it came time to make the decision, we'd been talking about it. I was comfortable with it. But yeah, it feels weird right now to not be on the floor with a whistle in hand as I have been the last 9 years.
Yeah, it almost feels like you're nomadic in nature of what's my purpose every day, but you find that every day gets filled up with amazing and unique challenges that you probably didn't even think about while you're in the team structure, because you just distract yourself with groups upon groups and endless lists of stuff to do with your teams. All right, so want to go back. You work with a guy with Joe Karen who's about as entrepreneurial at the onset. You go back to the tier system, strength coach's playbook. He was way ahead of the curve. How much of an influence on that was when you were starting to, a lot of it documenting your workouts, documenting your nutrition, documenting the stuff that you're doing with some of the athletes you're working with? What was that like? Was that Joe a big influence or motivation for you on that? Or was it just, I was going to do this anyway?
He was a big influence on that. Now, it's a little bit twofold. Part of it was I was competing in powerlifting. I was competing in strongman. I was already putting some stuff out there on social media. Not so much from a business standpoint, but more for my own social circle of powerlifters and strongman competitors. But to your point, working for House, I saw him. He took his training very seriously. He was documenting it. He was putting content out there. He was a published author. And it didn't detract from his ability to give 100% to our players and to the organization. If anything, the players respected it. They were into it. And just the legacy he was building up as a coach, that definitely made an impression on me and planted that seed in my head, and just observing him. And then I started doing the same more and started getting traction with it. And then it just exploded from there.
It just makes me think, because Coach Ken, when he left Louisville, started up an actual private training business and then got back with the Panthers. I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of the time with the Panthers, it was like, all right, now I know we had a shelf life in this industry, and we got to be able to diversify our income, give ourselves some options, because every job has a timeline and you don't know when it's coming, but it's coming. And what are your options after that? Especially if you have a family and your family likes where they live. Was there conversations about that? Of, you got a presence. We always talk about on social media, it's either you're really good looking or you're really funny or just polarizing as a way to get traction in social media. But did Coach Ken have like conversations with you based off of his most recent experiences with the private training business, having an opportunity with the Panthers, and then knowing that there's a timeline there?
Yeah, he had a saying, you're not really a coach until you've been fired. We always talked about the realities of the industry, and he was someone I directly consulted on making the decision to walk away from football. He brought up an interesting question to me, which was, do you love coaching in football or do you love the iron game? And that made me think, and he had a point. And my passion has always been in the iron game. It's not necessarily been 100% purely football strength and conditioning. Like I said, I come from a powerlifting background, a strongman background. My idols were the bodybuilders, and I love the nutrition side of things. I love training. I love nutrition. I love programming. And don't get me wrong, I love being on the floor with a whistle, coaching the guys, and being on the sideline playing in big games. But at the end of the day, my passion is in training, whether that's with football players, whether that's with bodybuilders and strongmen, or if it's general population folks who are passionate about fitness. As long as I'm coaching and programming and in the iron game, that's what I love. So he encouraged me. He was always supportive of my entrepreneurial side of this, whereas there were other coaches in my career who were not, who, whether it was an insecurity thing or they legitimately thought it was clashing with the program. I don't really know, but of all people, Joe Ken was always supportive and encouraging of having a side gig and building an image.
For the folks that don't know, you come from football royalty and you have a legacy, right? So if you wanted to, if you were really passionate about football, you could definitely carve out a life about doing that. But it is also an interesting thing of like guys like me, and if you ever met me, I'm short. I don't have any really good athletic ability. I only had one option, was the weight room. And like the reality is when you can choose your passion and choose the thing that you most resonate with, it's very clear to you and unfortunately no one else around you. So that process of, I feel more of identity with the Iron Game. I love going to meets. I love going to that stuff. At what point did it cross the threshold where people started asking you for workouts and programs? And then what was your process of capturing some sort of payment for that?
Yeah, so it started off very small. When I got done with the Panthers, before I got hired back at UNC, I spent some time working at a private sector facility in Raleigh called D1 Sports Training. There's several around the country. And I was working with high school kids and general population people. And when I moved on, several of the clients who I was coaching asked, hey, can you keep programming for me? Can you keep doing my diet? I'll pay you. And I was like, yeah, shit, $50 a month, no problem. And then they referred me to some other people. Hey, I've got a buddy. Would you take him on too? And then suddenly I had 10 people, 15 people. And then I was like, okay, I'm making a decent little side income from this. I should maybe think about raising my prices a little bit. And then I started getting a little bit of a following on Instagram and started putting more effort into that. And then suddenly I had people messaging me on Instagram. Hey, do you do programs? Do you do nutrition? And then I was like, yeah, I do. And then I started taking people on that way. And then in 2020, I really put some effort into social media. I was putting out consistent content. And then sure enough, I was getting a consistent stream of inquiries. And then I started really increasing my prices a little bit and people were still paying it. And every time I made a increase to my rates, I was like wincing. I was like, oh, this is too much. No one's going to do this. But sure enough, kept coming in. And then suddenly I was matching my paycheck that I was making from the school. But from a gig, I was putting in three hours of work in a week versus the university where I was putting in 60 hours a week. I was making the same amount of money from both of them. But yeah, it grew pretty quick.
Now, so walk us through that process of you essentially have something that pretty manageable from a workflow standpoint, and that working in the team sector, it's a dominating factor in your life, from the management of your schedule with your family, management of your schedule with your coworkers, being as much as you possibly can for your athletes whenever the time calls for it. So that process of, all right, now I'm making decent money from this side hustle in a very minimal time investment. Was there a point where you're like, how do I evaluate when would be a good time to leave?
Yeah, so my final year at UNC, let me say this, Coach Hess was incredibly supportive of what I was doing. And I mentioned it earlier, I think the program kind of viewed it as a positive from a recruiting standpoint because my following had gotten big and I was putting out pretty, I'm biased, but it's solid content, highlighting good training, and all the content I was putting out was aligned with our philosophies as a strength and conditioning staff. And players would come in, recruits would come in, they'd recognize me, they thought it was cool, they'd want to talk to me about training. And so it was a positive thing when I was at UNC, and Coach Hess supported me on it. But my final year there, I had a conversation with him and I said, look, I'm getting to a crossroads here where I need to consider going full time with this because I'm making great money on it, but I've reached a point where I can't take on more clients and still manage it from a time standpoint because I'm putting in so much time with the strength and conditioning program at UNC. I've reached a cap of clients where to take on more people, I would just be so spread so thin, have no time to be a husband or any of that. So I was very much debating that in my own mind. But then the opportunity with the Texans came along and that changed things. It was at that point, I wanted to continue pursuing my path in strength and conditioning. I wanted to take the opportunity in the NFL. And they told me straight up in the interview, they're like, listen, if you take this job, you're going to have to shut down the social media marketing.
I mean, it's got to be ironic because a large part of the reason, I know you got a lot of family who works in football. I'm sure you have some really deep connections, but you're probably not getting the look that you're getting without that social media presence. Am I wrong?
Exactly. And I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I'm probably in this interview in the first place because you have an awareness of me from the content I've been putting out. And you think that I'm someone worth interviewing because of the information that you've seen me displaying. But yeah, there was absolutely some irony there.
Wow. All right. So now let's go back to the beginning. Is there anything that you look back off of and going to the price point, the management aspect, the marketing aspect that you wish you could change and do differently?
I wish I'd been more organized from the get-go. It started off as such a under the table, just no bookkeeping, because I didn't expect it to grow the way it did. So it was just, some of my old folks that I work with back at D1. Yeah, I'm just doing some programming on the side. They Venmo me $50, no big deal. There was absolutely no bookkeeping, no organization, no, none of that, no content schedule, just very disorganized versus now where everything is pristinely organized, and that is crucial. But yeah, if I could go back having any sort of ability to project how quickly it would grow, I would have been a lot more organized. Like I said, the bookkeeping, the time management, the setting more of a consistent check-in schedule, blocking off time that was dedicated to clients versus time that was dedicated to football. Because at the time, I was just, I've got a break between groups. I'm going to get on my phone and respond to clients, or I've got a bathroom break. Versus now it's okay. I've got a 3-hour block in the day carved out where it is client work. I've got a schedule set where I'm posting content. I have time periods blocked off for podcasting. So much more organized now.
Yeah. Now, with that being said, have you evolved to good accounting software, good customer relation management software, good marketing software? Are you outsourcing any of that stuff now?
Yeah. So my father-in-law, he's a web developer. My website is set to launch here in the next week or so. We're setting up the whole e-commerce thing. He's helping me build an accounting software, bookkeeping software, all of that. Here in the last couple months, it's still been a lot of manual stuff, just old-fashioned Excel spreadsheet for the bookkeeping, just having to put a lot of time and effort into it. But here with the release of the website and now being able to conduct business through the website, having some of the accounting software, that's going to be the next step here in the business.
For the coaches out there listening to this, one thing I want you guys to really make sure that you are getting from this is be good at management of this stuff without the automation or having support in that. So when you have that critical juncture, you're talking to a web developer or an accountant or just a marketing assistant, you have more context of what the hell you're talking about, and going through that labor of making a lot of mistakes is crucial to this whole aspect. So I want to get to this like next phase of this. You're going into now a situation where you've cut the cord from the institutionalized team sector into the great, I'm now 100% a business owner, entrepreneur. What are some things that you know that are your weak spots, your blind spots, and how are you going to address those going forward?
Yeah, the reality is I'm very experienced from the X's and O's of coaching. Mm-hmm. I am not very experienced in the business side of things. This is a work in progress for me, all of the business components of this and a lot of the IT software stuff, that these are not areas of expertise for me. I've spent the last 9 years being a student of coaching and programming and nutrition, and now I am very much a student of business and getting more into the IT side of things. Now, luckily, I've got some people in my corner who are helping me. I've got a videographer who I'm paying to film a lot of my content, do editing for my YouTube video. The editing, the professional level editing, that is not an area of expertise in me, so I've outsourced that. The web design, I'm lucky enough to have a father-in-law who's amazing with that. So he's helping me there. I've got people like Joe Ken who are now in the private side who are advising me on the business side. I've formed my LLC, Hammer and Chisel Performance. So I've got that up and running. And of course, there's the tax side of all this now being self-employed. So definitely immersing myself into the education of business.
I know it's early in this process for you, but walk the listeners through why it's important to set up an LLC.
Yeah. At the end of the day, if someone decides to sue me, let's say someone's doing my training program, they get hurt. Without the LLC, they can sue John Heck. With the LLC, they're not suing me. They're suing Hammer and Chisel Performance LLC, which leaves me legally and financially protected. That's the simplest way to put it. Obviously, now that I'm running a business, you need to protect yourself legally, and that's the way to do it.
Now, from a tax standpoint, having an LLC, you could lead that into, all right, now that's a corporation. And for the folks at home don't realize this, majority of the time when you build a business, it's going to take a loss for a long time. That's going to have some pretty significant impact on your taxes and what you save at the end of the year. Have you met with an accountant? Have you talked about that with them in terms of how you want to strategize 2025?
Yep. So I've actually got a meeting coming up here with the accountant who works with my dad. He's worked with him for years. He's fantastic. We're about to go over as tax season approaches, we're going to go over this whole thing. In 2022, when this really exploded for me, frankly, I was unprepared for the growth that I had and the sudden influx of income that I had. And boy, did I pay for it when tax season rolled around. So that is something that moving forward, I will be much more prepared for. And having the LLC and now having an accountant will take a much smaller hit.
Yeah, because you're paying a videographer, you're paying a web developer, you're going to be paying an accountant, you're probably going to pay for a lot more things. I'm assuming that you're going to build out a physical space, whether it's a home gym. Like, these are all expensive and write-offable.
Exactly.
As you start to like process this stuff, like, I'm just going to get it. And I'm not thinking how that's going to impact how I can save money at the end of the year. But if you don't start to manage that, it will lead to a large problem and you're going to be in so far in debt where you shouldn't be.
And yeah, we're this camera tax deductible. It's part of the business now, or this microphone, this camera tax deductible, the videographer tax deductible. And then, like you said, the plan is to open up a brick and mortar. So we're still in Troy, Alabama right now. We've got the newborn. We just want to get the business up running. Rent is dirt cheap. We don't want to do a cross country move with a newborn still developing. So here in a few months, we're going to head back to North Carolina, move back, settle in long term, which is something we'll be able to do for the first time ever, actually plant our roots and know we can be somewhere long term and have a move that doesn't have a set deadline. We got to be there and then I'm gone for 6 weeks while my wife handles the move. And so we're looking forward to that, looking forward to being back into a good area, populated area with athletes and a great fitness culture, all of which will help the business. And we'll open up the brick and mortar eventually, start small at low overhead and see where that goes. But that's going to be a whole other thing I've got to learn is scaling an actual physical location, hiring employees, maintenance, all the business side of things I've never had to worry about.
Yeah. And it's like everything. You just talked about it. You just spend all your time honing your craft, becoming an expert in training, nutrition, coaching. And now it's a matter of, all right, can I leverage that as an actual value prop for someone else? And can I do that for multiple people for an extended period of time? Which is, once you start sinking your teeth in that, it's just like training, just one thing at a time, progressively overload your knowledge and your bandwidth for this stuff. All right. Now, one thing I want to talk about here as the next phase of your career, are you looking to really build a big vertical on your digital side, or are you going to try to have a very big entity that could have multiple revenue streams from in-person stuff or digital stuff? How are you thinking about the strategy of the end of 2025 and 2026, and what's going to be the biggest driver of revenue for you?
The thing that's enticing about the digital side is it's logistically so easy because I'm working from home. I'm working from a laptop. I'm not worrying about all the headaches that come with owning a gym right now. And business is great. And I'm still very serious about my own training. I'm going to compete in bodybuilding. I'd like to do another strongman show. And I just tie in my own training into filming content. So I go to the gym, I'm training, I'm filming at the same time, or I'll have the videographer come, we'll make a YouTube video out of it, which all of that is, it's killing two birds with one stone. I'm doing what I love while simultaneously leveraging it for content, which is helping with marketing. Right now, business is so good, just purely from the online side of things. And I've got some programs selling on Train Heroic that are doing great. With the website launching, I'm going to be selling. I've got a couple ebooks written. I'll have several programs coming out that'll all be sold through the website. I've got the podcast, my own podcast, starting up here. I'm starting recording this week. I'm going to do some e-courses, which I'm going to try to get with Joe Ken on that. There's some other people in the industry, some good bodybuilding coaches will do an e-course with nutrition. These e-courses are killing it out there. So at this point in time, my focus is more on the digital side. When we get to North Carolina, we're going to try to do the brick and mortar and see that might lead us down a whole new path, depending on how that grows and how that does. And just as our son gets a little bit older, like we don't know yet. We're still figuring it out as we go. But right now, the digital side of it is great. I'm able to be at home with my family. I'm setting my own schedule. I'm not worried about physically being at a location or paying employees other than the videographer. So I don't want to say it's easy right now, but it's definitely easier. I'm focusing on the digital side right now.
We figured out how to manage your schedule that allows you to not feel overwhelmed all the time, which is a huge asset. You mentioned, all right, you're going to have e-courses, you're going to have a podcast, potentially maybe you'll be able to monetize that. Is it all got all roads leading down to Rome to get people to sign up for digital training with you?
Yeah, ultimately, that's the main source of income right now is the one-on-one online coaching. To be honest, I'm almost at capacity. I've got nearly 100 clients that I'm working with right now. I can and will take on more, but at a certain point, I won't be able to take on more people. I'll probably have to increase prices a little bit, and I'll be leaning more on the program sales. I've already gotten all my programs and ebooks written. They're ready to go. So I'll be staging releases incrementally, and those are great. And then I've got some sponsorships where affiliate commissions with a few different companies. And those are products that I encourage all my clients to use. I've got a relationship with a supplement company. So when I'm doing diets and stuff, I'm bringing up, hey, no pressure, but here's some great supplement options. Here's the discount code. Then my clients are getting that stuff. Then they're telling other people to get it. So I've got a nice little passive stream coming from commissions from the supplement website. And then I've got a relationship with Pride Foods, which makes a cream of rice product, which I encourage my nutrition clients to use. I'm marketing it on social media. I'm with a shoe company as well. So all those little passive streams of income, the program sales, and soon the ebook, and that in conjunction with the clients that I'm working with, we're doing well.
Now, this will be my last question. I think it's a tough one. Everything is centered off of you and your personal brand. Are you comfortable with being the epicenter of the entire empire that you've built?
Yeah, I like being in charge. I like speaking. I've always liked kind of commanding the room. And I've liked, not from an arrogance standpoint, but I've liked having eyes on me. Mm. And I think that's a strength that has been developed through strength and conditioning and just being in front of big groups and the alpha male and public speaking and all that. And then just my own kind of physical prowess. I'm 6'7", 300 pounds plus, and we're building a physique I'm proud of. So I'm very proud to be using myself and my own image essentially as my business card and prime marketing tool right now. Now, it comes with a little bit of pressure because if I get hurt or something like that, I'm going to have to pivot a little bit, and suddenly my content will have to be centered around rehab and mobility, things of that nature.
Your wife posted a picture of you having a cigarette and a donut. I like Christmas. It does bring up an interesting point, though, because I'm assuming there's a lot of strength coaches are going to be listening to this and going, all right, I'm not 6'7", 300 pound plus, and maybe I lack, to be completely frank, I think a lot of people lack the discipline that you have. So that pressure is overwhelming. Now, with that being said, there's a split approach we can think about building an online business. There's a business, which you're the epicenter. So John Heck is the vertical. Everything has got to be built around the way I train, my interaction, how I coach, my philosophy. Then there's a separate idea would be more of a business of, all right, like I have a brick and mortar location where there's a handful of my clients who don't even know I exist. And I'm pulling the strings on all of our programming, all of our coaching education, all of our HR. And that process is a little bit of foreign for me when I go into my own like online digital presence where I'm trying to sell myself. So for the strength coach listening out there, you don't have to be pressured into being something, the epicenter of stuff. If you are, I'm like a team player. I like to be part of the overall grand scheme of things, which you're kind of experienced being. You've been an assistant strength coach, a part of a team setting for X number of years. there's multiple options there. And I'm sure when you get your brick and mortar, there's going to be the expectation that they're going to work with you. You just can't do that. And you got the multiple coaches being your medium or the person that, and they'll forge your own relationships.
Yeah. And it seems like just observing other people in the private space, that's the natural progression, is over time, start delegating more and you're hiring employees. And then there's more ventures going on that you're not directly hands-on involved with. And, you know, it's easy for me to be the epicenter of things right now. I'm young, it's new, it's fresh, but I'm sure I'm going to blink and I'm going to be 50 years old. Like, I don't know if that time I'm going to be putting out Instagram reels. I'm not going to have the same, the abs anymore, and things are going to inevitably change. And
packs, yeah, just massive packs. You don't need.
Yeah. So I suspect 5 years from now, I'm sure things will have evolved and things will be different than they are now. There's always a natural evolution to things, and I'm very open to whatever is coming. But I feel empowered by the fact that it's more in my control, that whatever is coming, it's no longer in the hands of 18 to 21 year old kids going out there and winning football games or jobs opening up. It's on me. And that's pressure. But at the same time, I like that. I feel like I'm in control of my own destiny here for the first time.
Yeah, it's the ultimate man in the arena.
Yeah.
And there'll be like some moments too where you have to really think about the initial reaction to, hey, can you come to my wedding in October? Your immediate knee jerk is absolutely not, no way. And then you're like, no, actually I can. And there's no default, like I can't just go there. And sometimes it's actually nice to have an out for something that you don't want to go to, where now it's, why can't you? Like, look at my stuff I got going on. There'll be a whole adjustment. And having autonomy and freedom of schedule is always something that when you're institutionalized, like we were for so long, is a big adjustment.
Yeah. And that's something I'm having to get used to here is, now that I don't have a schedule set for me, I never feel like it's always, am I doing enough? It's hard to just sit idly back and relax and take the day off because I'm thinking, should I be putting out content? Should I be doing more marketing? Should I, it's all on me now. Like, I should be doing more, shouldn't I? My wife's made the point a few times. She's like, gee, like, I thought we wanted to do this so you'd have more time off. And I'm like, I got to get this thing going.
Oh, yeah. You can work 100% of the time.
Yeah, so.
Their laptop's always there. The phone is always there.
Exactly. Whereas in strength and conditioning, although the free time is few and far between, at least, okay, you clock out, job's over, you can go home and just shut it down. Whereas here, the gears are always turning. What am I going to post tomorrow? What am I going to talk about? What am I going to ask my podcast guest on this interview? So it's fun. It's a challenge. I definitely don't feel like I was worried, am I going to have enough to do? I certainly do. I certainly will.
Oh, man. This is awesome. Thank you so much for the time. I thought this was, if anything, like if someone's feeling the pressure of, I got to stay in this rat race in the team sector, there's always options. And if you're good, people will find you. It doesn't matter if you're in the team sector or in the private sector. Good is good. And there's no denying that. And you just got to, in the private sector, work a little bit harder to get your name out there, as opposed to the network effect you have in the team sector. But this was awesome, John. Thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate your insight and just sharing your story.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on.